coming to you in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gary and Getty Show. I'm Gary Kroger in very, very cold Waterloo, Iowa, and I am joined by
Ken Sizer in Calabasas. And speaking of the weather, we had a big earthquake last night.
I saw that.
Big.
4.2 or something.
2 o'clock.
4.2 is a rattler. That's a real shaker.
No, it wasn't a shaker. It was a boomer.
It
sounded like a bomb. See, this is the thing that's going to happen now in the news out here is all they do now, the reporters for the next 2 days are going to go, oh, what did the earthquake sound like to you? And everybody's going, well, it was a little bit of a rattle. Then they're going to ask another person. The other person's going to say, well, it was a big boom. And the other person says, well, it was shaking. So everybody's going to have their own description. We're all going to hear everybody's description of what it felt like in the earthquake.
Well, now, you know, I lived out there. I lived through the big Northridge earthquake, which the anniversary was just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that was a 15-second shake the rafters kind of deal.
No.
And I remember boom once, but doesn't it kind of depend on where you are in relation to the epicenter? I
mean, yes, somewhere. But the epicenter was only 11 miles from me.
So
it must be more. Okay, no, it was 11 miles from Malibu. I'm just on the other side of the mountain of Malibu. So I'm very close to it.
Yes, but that mountain could be actually the continental drift and seafloor spreading, right? That causes the earthquake.
I've suspected
our ignorance is going to show very, very quickly.
What's that?
Our ignorance is going to show very, very quickly.
It's just one of those things. You have, earthquakes, although I've lived here. I mean, the worst one was Northridge, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I experienced, it's funny that you say that because I'm in tornado land and extreme weatherville, and tornadoes are terrifying. I mean, it can be a mile wide, concentrated 150 mile an hour.
Well, basically, that can ruin your day. Now,
that can ruin your day.
We had an earthquake at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up and the sun's out and it's a beautiful day and the birds are doing what they do. What do they twerp?
They chirp.
Chirp. They chirp.
They chirp. At least they do in LA.
No, they twerp out here.
They squawk here.
Yeah. Anyhow, that's right. So it's a lovely day. So even when we had an earthquake, we still can go on.
But here was my point. I know when a tornado's coming. Very rare that suddenly the system just develops and you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of run for cover. Now, maybe you can't because it's a mile wide and there's no place, but you know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But when I would experience earthquakes walking down the sidewalk in LA, where just suddenly out of nowhere, the earth that my feet sort of rely upon starts to shake. It was a real feeling of helplessness. In fact, of all the disasters, I hated earthquakes the most.
Okay. I can see there's a thing where it's just, it's monumental that you have no control over, but I suspect that's the same thing with any kind of weather event. It's so big and powerful that you always feel
powerful. But you can't run away from the earth. You can run away from wind or take shelter, but you can't hide from the earth.
Hmm.
And I found that very,
I love that as a slogan, Gary. That's a great slogan.
You can't run from the earth?
No. And speaking of hard times here in California, and this is going to a serious thing, California, we just had 2 mass shootings.
Yeah, I know it.
And it's, nobody can say anything. I mean, we're all like, okay, we just shrug our shoulders and go, whatever. And what's interesting is these were done by old guys of Asian descent.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think if we learn something here, there really is no demographic that owns murderous intentions. I mean, primarily it's white guys. But, this is about guns, plain and simple. You have more guns, guns are going to be used more often. Because the counter argument that doesn't support that point of view, the gunnies, and I'm in the middle of gunny land, they double down. They go, well, if everybody there had a weapon, we would take him out right away.
Well, remember the teacher in Florida who got shot by a 6-year-old kid? Well, she should have had a gun, so she could have shot him back.
Take out the 6-year-old.
But
that is their logic. I was doing business with someone, and they talked about a woman whose husband, I don't remember the circumstances, somebody came into a coffee shop, shot her husband in the head, and then fired and fired and fired and fired and fired. The coffee shop in Texas was a gun-free zone. So the gunnies are saying, well, if it hadn't been a gun-free zone, then they could have taken care of this guy. Well, my argument is, well, first of all, you can't stop somebody from shooting right away. In other words, he was shot in the head. The guy's dead. So right. all you're going to do with vigilante justice now is you're just going to take out the perp, mm-hmm. and now you have no explanation. You have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There, it's execution.
Mm-hmm.
It's a public execution.
Well, we
from
like
the
that.
Public.
We like that.
But I said to this person, I said, so you really feel that more guns will contain the situation? And right. his answer is, well, you would be less likely to use a gun if you thought that everybody was packing heat. Well, Whoa. There actually are no statistics to support
right.
that.
Right.
And if you're going to use a gun, you have more or less thought to yourself, well, you know, I'm going to die by police or whatever. I don't think it will stop the incidents, but what it
well,
will do
the
is create more situations where people use guns to settle arguments.
If you look at police statistics, they are, it's almost so small, it's negligible how many home burglaries have been stopped when a person who owned the gun in the house, you know, stopped a burglar from coming right. into the house. It's done. You very rarely hear about it. It does happen on occasion.
It happens. And they run that up the flagpole and say, see, a good guy with a gun
right.
took out the bad
but
guy.
But statistically, that people...
Statistically...
The guns are not used for in the protection of property. The statistics don't show that. They're
but
used
the
for crime.
Statistics do show, Kenny. Right, you're right. And what they do show is if you have a gun in the house, for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
the chances of someone you love being shot by a gun
goes
multiply by a factor
I've
of
had
three.
This conversation with my brother-in-law. I said, well, I don't have any guns in my house. You have guns in your house. What are the odds there's that somebody will get into a gun accident in your house versus a gun accident in my house? Because it's nil in my house.
Right. Look, I lived in New York, Chicago, and L.A. I've never carried a gun. It doesn't mean I couldn't have been in a situation where I'm walking down an alley and there's a problem, but I have never needed a gun. I've never felt compelled to own a gun or felt that I would be safer with
well,
a
hopefully
gun.
Somebody's not listening to this
Cedar
who has
Falls.
A gun.
I know a guy in little cozy Cedar Falls, Iowa, who has a Glock next to the bed. He has a sawed-off shotgun next in the closet. His wife has the same in her bedstand. I mean, they've got firepower in this house.
Well, I hope they don't get
in
into an argument.
In case there's a burglary.
I hope they don't get
well,
into an
that's
argument.
But that's what does happen.
Yeah, I know. Hey, but the other thing I was going to say was this is when tragedy happens in California, I don't believe a lot of the people in the country sympathize with us. There's a lot of California hate.
Yeah, there is a lot. Outside of California, I keep talking about where I live. I'm behind enemy lines. They hate California. They're a bunch of liberals, and they'd like to see a giant earthquake simply take you into the Pacific.
Which reminded me of a story. You got a minute?
Yeah.
When I was doing my last tour of Friends, where I came out and visited you.
Yes.
Previous to coming to you, I was in Birmingham, Alabama.
Really?
And I was visiting Jan Hunter, Alan Hunter's
ex-wife,
and she's a wonderful person. And she was so worried about, well, what if he's going to come to Birmingham? What am I going to do? How am I going to keep him entertained? So she was trying to come up with something to entertain me, and there was nothing. There was a couple of things, and she was asking her friends, what could I, because she wanted to keep me busy and just like take me a tour. She didn't like, what am I going to do with them? And basically all I really cared about, I mean, I didn't care about that stuff. Anyhow, so one of the places she wanted to take me was this potato chip place in Birmingham. Could you do me a favor? While I'm telling this story, could you Google potato chips, Birmingham, Alabama, and come up with the name of the place?
Which was not something that I would normally think to do, is
right.
Google Birmingham potato chips. All right.
Yeah.
Tell your story. Forgive me for not looking at you.
So, and I if I can find pictures of it, I'm going to put it in our video. So she goes, well, we're going to go to the potato chip factory. And I'm like, you know, I really don't care about potato chips. Oh, no, it's fun. It's a big thing here in Birmingham. Everybody loves it. They take their kids and as well. I don't know, jam, whatever. And okay, well, the way she was talking about it, this is like a big thing in
Is it the Golden Flake potato chip?
Maybe? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's
there
it.
There you go. Golden Flakes came right up. In the basement of Hill's Grocery Store.
No.
In North Birmingham, Golden Flake was founded in 1923.
But this wasn't in the bottom of a store.
Well, this is the factory. That's where it was.
No, but this was the factory. It was a tour of the factory.
Yes, it started in the basement. It became a factory, and the Golden Flake.
Oh, okay.
From Birmingham, right.
So the big
Alabama
thing is the tour. And one of the things about the tour that everybody loves to go on the tour, first of all, you go in there and you have to sit in the room, the factory room. It's very utilitarian, and they give you have to wear the hat, you know, and it looks really stupid.
Not as fun as an ice cream factory, but
it's right. Okay. So you're in there, and there's a lot of people that are excited to be there. But one of the big excitements is, because the woman comes out to tell them, is that she goes, a big thing that I know a lot of people come here for is that when you come here, we have buckets of potato chips that you can just go through and everybody can grab potato chips. Well, unfortunately, the FDA says that that's not okay. We've been doing it for 30 years, but
because
it's not
everybody's just reaching their greasy fingers.
Everybody would reach in strategically.
I'm with the FDA on this, but go ahead.
And be able to like grab potato chips and everybody would be happy because they were walking through the factory, get free potato chips. And she said the reason was because the federal government came in and said, you can't do that. It's unsafe practice. Well, the room went, oh my God, federal government. Who are these people? Where are these people?
They came, bureaucrats.
The federal government.
Bunch of damn liberals.
Yeah. Again, they have prevented us from our freedom. We want freedom.
Take our potato chip freedom.
Right.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, well, you know. All right. So we start the tour, and she announces, obviously, that there is no, I don't know, obviously, she goes, there's absolutely no recording in the factory at any time. It's totally prohibited. Okay. So we go into the factory and it's kind of old and whatever. Kind of sad, actually. And she's kind of showing us how potatoes are made. You know, first they bring in the potatoes. Shocker. Who would have thought?
Are they golden russet? Are they?
I don't know. They're just potatoes.
Potato
she was probably explaining it to me.
Is deep.
But as I'm looking, you know, I'm noticing a lot of this stuff will be automated. There's no reason you have these people. And I'm going to say it, but everybody in that factory who was working was a Black person. And they didn't look really that happy. But the woman who was giving the instruction was talking about how happy they were. And I was like, wow, this is bizarre. So I started filming it, by the way, with my phone, surreptitiously.
Yeah. I didn't even know. This was about 7 years ago.
Yeah. So she's going on, and then we come across one person, and it's not one person, and there's a woman who's boxing the chips into a carton. And she goes, oh, that's, you know, we call her, you know, I don't know, that's Mabel. Everybody loves Mabel. Mabel's been here for 75 years. We love Mabel. Nobody can pack potato chips.
Like Mabel.
Like Mabel. Right. And it's this Black woman. It's poor. She's like, she's trying to make a big thing about it. Hey, Mabel, wait. And she, Mabel, could give a fuck. But they're trying to make sure that everybody knows that these are happy Black people who are picking out the potato chips, who are boxing the potato chips. And I'm filming, and then she comes over and she goes, are you filming this? And I said, no. I'm not.
Well, who asked you?
She says, the tour, the woman who's a tour guide.
Okay.
And she goes, you're not from around here, are you?
You're not from these parts.
Well, there's no filming. If I see you filming, I'm going to take your phone away. I'm not filming. I'm not filming. So then they take us to the last, they take us to the last part of the tour. And the last part of the tour, they walk you outside and there's a big truck, you know, like the back of a cargo truck, a warehouse.
Uh-huh. Truck. Yeah, there's a picture of such a truck right here on the, on the website.
Yeah, that's a truck. Yeah. And they walk you inside the back of the truck because this is the final journey of the potato chips.
Of the potato chips.
Right. And now you're in the cargo part of the truck and there's like boxes, simulating boxes of potato chips.
Oh, so this is a dummy truck to give you the entire
thing from potato.
All right. So this is how the chips are stacked in the boxes in the truck.
Right, right. And on the wall. There's a map, and she shows all the parts that they distribute, the where the trucks go from here. They go off to here, to Nebraska. They go this way east. They go this way that. They go this way there. But we won't go to California. was like,
okay. They simply won't go. This is an this
and
is
everybody
an
in the truck was
decision.
Like, yeah, why would you go to California? And it turned into the most California hate discussion. And Jan is grabbing me going, Kenny, please don't say anything. Don't say anything. And I'm like, they're bashing.
They were
California.
On to you, though. You're not from.
I guess
here.
They might have been. But I was it was really amazing. I don't know how much I realized it, but the amount of hate was just incredible. They just hated California and everything. Yeah. And they went and they laughed and they went on for 10 minutes about how, why would you,
of course you don't want to send to California. Fuck California. The hell with California.
I was like, wow, they hate us.
Well, they hate you in Iowa too. It's not a classic love hate, but part of it is simply jealousy. There are very few states where you can go surfing and skiing on the same day. There are very few states that have a Yosemite. There are very few states with that kind of majestic coastline. Right. There are very few states that can literally grow anything year round, oranges. Right.
Well, we're a big state, yeah.
Perfect state. What is it, 3 billion annually? I'm just making that up, but I know it's in the billions in terms of tourism.
Right. But billions, you know, but here's the thing. They hate California, and you're saying for all these reasons. And I think a lot of other people hate Florida. When bad things happen to Florida, you're like, you know what?
Well, now, and is that because you've got a bunch of old, rich, white Republicans?
Well, it's because Florida has been responsible for ruining this country in a lot of ways. From the first time that Jeb Bush said, hey, my brother won this election.
Right.
And that put us on that track. Yes. Or when, you know, did Trump win Florida and that put Trump in the office? I mean, Florida's really fucked us up.
It put Bush in the office. I mean, the hanging
right,
chads
that's what I'm
and
saying.
All that. Yes, the Republican Florida and their attorney general manipulated the election. Absolutely. And now with DeSantis, it is an absolute breeding ground for the most extreme Republican ideas.
Right. But the reason, but see, people hate California because they're envious. We hate Florida. We're not envious. We're like,
because they're
you deserve it.
Republicans.
You deserve it.
But it, yeah. Well, they hate.
And you know, our friend Laura Foy, she's down there. She loves it because you know the weather and the lifestyle.
I have friends in Florida. They love it. They love the weather. They love the beach, and they find their own.
Well, that's because it's
you find the other liberals. You find your people.
Yeah.
It is jealousy with California, without a doubt. But again, the reason they'd like to see it fall off the map is because California is generally blue and blue initiatives, you know, all sorts of, gender equality issues like that really rankle
a big
people
part
in Oklahoma,
of the reason they
Iowa,
hate us,
and Florida.
They hate Hollywood.
They
because
hate
of the
Hollywood.
Celebrities.
Hollywood liberals, elitists.
Right. Exactly.
They see the Hollywood elitists, and that's how they paint the entire picture of California, without a doubt. But it's ignorance, and at the same time, it's our own ignorance hating Florida and Texas for their politics.
I don't know in my lifetime that I would have ever said that I hated any of the states in America. I mean, when I was a kid, when you grew up, did you ever hear your parents sit around, ever sit there and go, fucking Kansas, I hate fucking, or I never heard my father go, Ohio sucks. We never pointed out a particular state and went, let's get rid of that state. And now I'm like, we need to get rid of some states.
Yeah. Well, it's become that divisive without a doubt. I mean, you know, I struggle here, Kenny, because there's things I live well here. I live better here than I could live there. I still get to go to movies and they find the same wines and things like that. Fewer choices for fine dining, but there's things that I like. I like the pace of the people. And in general, even though Republican, when I see them at events and socially, people are friendly.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. I get that.
It's just in the voting booth and online.
But when we come on here and we talk about all the ills, and God knows there's a lot of ills, we talk that relate to, you know, social programs and guns and abortion. Yeah. So those things are really like, you know, they're big dividing issues between us and these people who are friendly and nice or whatever, those people believe in taking away rights.
Right.
And it must be frustrating to like.
I hate their ignorance. I hate their. I hate their.
They don't think they're ignorant.
Logic. I know they don't think they are, but but it's very easy. It's very easy to get into an argument and pull up actual facts and details that had not occurred to them or they hadn't looked into.
You know what would be a good app?
Ideology on hearsay, on parroting what comes down from Mount Crazy Right Wing High.
Now, I know you could probably do it on Google, but you know what would be a good app? An app that had all of these subject matters. So just as soon as somebody goes, oh, yeah, well, what? Well, Trump didn't say that. You hit the app, and in the app it says Trump, and then it comes back with 42 fucking reasons why he's an idiot.
That's not a bad idea.
No,
maybe
it's
this
not.
Is our millions, Kenny.
Okay.
Maybe this is just truth app, research app.
Yeah, it's just, but it has all the subject matter. So when somebody says guns on the app, you hit
then
you guns.
Got all of the studies from Emory University.
All done, right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that's an interesting. It is kind of called Google, but you're saying it would house all of these things.
It would all the hot topics, and so that you didn't have to type in what the subject was. It would already give you a list of the top 10 subjects that you want to avoid that you want to show the facts.
Here's my struggle, Kenny, because I came from California.
Did I just give away a phenomenal idea?
I think you might have, but maybe somebody will. We don't have the technology to do it. You and I couldn't design an app. So maybe somebody will say, hey, we heard you talk about this. I can design it for you.
No, they're not. They're going to cut us right out.
When
Gary,
I moved back to Iowa 19 years ago, Kenny, our Supreme Court, because we had a progressive Supreme Court, Democrats actually controlled the House. We had a Democrat as a governor at the time, Culver. And we were expanding education. Our education budgets were going up. We were in the top three states in terms of test scores. And we had struck down the Defense of Marriage Act to say this unconstitutional, to say that a certain criteria can prohibit another group of people from marriage. So there were all of these progressive things that they weren't doing that in California yet. They weren't even doing it in New York yet. And I would say to you and my California friends, yeah, you're so fucking liberal. Here in Iowa, look what we're doing. Well, in the last 19 years, that has not only reversed, they've doubled down. We've now passed school vouchers. That's in the news. We're, $365 million a year are going to go to funding private schools for scholarships.
I'll tell you what happened 19 years ago.
Take money away from public schools.
I'll tell you what started 19 years ago. Two things. That is the reason you went from there to here. The internet and Fox News.
Yeah, Fox News. 19.
And the internet. That? It gave people a different place to get information, to support whatever information they need. So once you had the internet, once you had Fox News, boom.
Well, that was the 1-2 punch. Fox News to me is ground zero. That's ground zero where information is literally tailored to the audience rather than giving the audience truthful journalistic information.
Absolutely.
In other words, they were giving the audience what they wanted. You want more barking dogs? We'll give you more barking dogs.
I would put a Fox emblem in the app. So you just hit Fox and it comes up with all of the lies that they've told or some, other fact. I'll give you a fact about Fox News, which I throw at my Fox News friends.
Pray tell.
In all of its years, Fox News has never won any journalistic award. Not one. Not for anybody on their air. Not for anybody and not for any shows.
But they would claim that that's mainstream media snobbery that doesn't recognize them.
Well, there's a lot of independents, but there are a lot of independent news organizations that do get awards by their peers for journalist reporting and integrity or whatever. I mean, and they can't say the same. ABC, CBS, NBC, they have years and years and years of Peabody Awards.
Peabody, absolutely. Well, of course.
Yeah.
Well, there's no journalistic standard by which Fox News has any.
I know. I'm getting upset again.
Let's talk about something else. I've always said that when archaeologists unearth this civilization 500 years from now, because it ceased to exist.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to discover that it was 1997 and the creation of Fox News, the creation of misinformation as,
yes,
as
those people will, but Fox News won't report it as such. I guarantee.
Fox News won't report it. Yes.
Yeah. So what else is happening in the, in your life?
What's happening in my life? I'm cold, old. You know, I don't like to look at myself when I get out of the shower anymore.
Okay.
You know, I just see a mass,
you know, maybe,
of flesh.
Can I talk to somebody else?
That's not where I wanted to go. No, yeah. Hey, no, you know what, Kenny? I'm just whining because it's more fun to whine. Mm-hmm. I do these murder mysteries now.
Oh,
they're,
I saw that.
Up.
Now, are you writing? You're actually doing, yeah, the writing of these things.
I write them all, and I tailor them each to the situation. They're all different. I even use different formulas to figure things out. I'm really found out that I'm fairly good at it.
And let me ask you this. Are there any prop guns used at when you do these things?
I used one. I actually had someone off where you couldn't. I have a staircase in a hotel, and I don't forget who the, I forgot the victim was standing here, and then you hear gunshots.
Right.
And they,
how was
fall
the gunshot?
Down.
How do you hear the gun? What, is it from a cap gun or something?
I have a very loud cap, a starter pistol.
Okay. You have a starter pistol, huh?
And, you know, I was a little uncomfortable.
Do
about
they have
it,
a finishing gun pistol? They don't. You get, they, you know.
Yeah. Every other gun.
Yeah. That's right.
I was a little uncomfortable with that, and I haven't done that again, thinking, you know, I had the audience watch someone get shot and fall down the stairs, and it was a little dark. It's almost better if they die.
Well, but the reason I'm bringing this up is
in a
Alec
separate
Baldwin,
room.
Alec Baldwin is being charged,
yes,
with the shooting. You're an actor.
Yes.
The debate that is going on here is a lot of, some people have, you know, say that yes, he should have checked the chamber. And some people, well, go, I'm the actor. I don't know anything about guns. I have to rely on,
well,
the expertise
I
of the people around me. Now, if somebody, have you did that Army movie with guns.
I did a lot of films with, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, using firearms.
Yeah.
And they were after the John Eric Hexum episode. So post John Eric Hexum, you know, who had,
well,
a,
well, explain to us that. Explain to the people.
Well, Cover Up was the TV show, and a couple of spies, and they were also models or whatever the premise was. And he was horsing around with a blank gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he put it to his temple to faux commit suicide. But even, right, a blank gives a discharge, and it crushed a quarter of his skull.
Right.
So since that time, you know, guns on sets really became much more, many more protocols. There was never a gun that I touched without the, what are they called?
Armor.
And there were different names back then, but now,
right,
it's called the armor. Coming up,
prop guy,
showing
back in
the
day,
me the empty chamber, and then firing it into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Several times,
mm-hmm,
and then handing it to me, and even,
right,
still never would I point it at a human being or anything like that.
Well, the AD traditionally would give you the prop. Traditionally,
right,
you would get it from the AD. Yes, the AD in this particular case did a plea bargain, so he's not going to court. But so George Clooney, of all people, came out, and instead of defending Alec Baldwin, he said every actor knows.
Yeah, I saw that.
You should check the chamber even though they've given you the gun. I disagree. I don't think actors I think their expertise is acting. And I think the people who are around them, their expertise should be taking care of the actor and checking the chamber and doing every possible protocol, because actors shouldn't have, like, just like teachers should not have to worry about a gun being in the classroom. An actor shouldn't have to worry about whether or not a gun is clean.
Well,
or not.
Certainly that's what I agree with the assumption. And again, when I got to using pistols in the show called Spies and the thing that I did in Israel, it was such a carefully practiced, here's a gun, fire, fire, fire. Now you take it as an actor, fire, fire, fire. Now you know that I was part of the process. And so there's no way that could have happened with me as an actor, for example.
Well, I listen, accidents happen. I don't know whether or not they could have or not. Maybe there's one bullet left in the chamber that the AD didn't see, or I don't know, whatever the thing is. But here's the thing. And then the other problem that I'm supporting of Alec Baldwin was, people, and I mean industry people and actors, have said, I never would have fired the gun in rehearsal.
Well, that's
and I'm a director.
Not true.
And yeah. Let me tell you something. I want the point of the rehearsal. That's why I rehearse.
Right.
I want to see what happens when you fire the gun.
Right. Well, you know, it sounds like I'm indicting Alec Baldwin. No, I'm not sure why the process didn't go into play there. The way I look at it is, as an actor, no, you're off the hook. That was a terrible accident that shouldn't happen.
So why is he being prosecuted?
But he's being prosecuted as a producer.
As being prosecuted as the guy who shot the gun. This is the crime that he did. As far as if it was an unsafe production or whatever like that.
What the premise was.
I don't think it's illegal to be, you can be fined and permitted and all these, but I don't think it's illegal to do a low budget movie.
Yeah.
I think he's being, this conversation about the actors having responsible.
Alec Baldwin is, in the eyes of many people here, the state of California.
Yes.
Because what we're talking about, it was an accident, and I understand why there's going to be a trial, but I do not think Alec Baldwin is guilty. He's not, certainly not guilty of homicide.
Right.
And it's borderline negligence too. To your point, I mean, I can see how this happened. But there are lots of people who hate Alec Baldwin. Why? Because he's a vocal Democrat.
Yeah, he did Trump.
He's a liberal.
And yes, I bet you Trump is so happy that this happened.
Well, you know, we're talking a lot about Hollywood, Kenny. You know, the Oscar nominations came out.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen everything. I saw Elvis. I was.
Did you see Everything Everywhere All at Once?
No, I have not.
Okay. No. That's the one that that has the big buzz.
I did see The Whale with my wife.
Okay.
In Chicago. We were looking for something to do.
I don't even know if that's up for Best Picture. Is that?
I don't think it's up for Best Picture, but he's up for nod for Best Actor.
But what do you think?
It wasn't a Best Picture. It wasn't a Best Picture. So when I say I believe he deserves the Oscar, and I haven't seen every Oscar performance, but for my money, Kenny, you could not give a better performance. And it's not because, look, he managed to pull off a 600-pound man. That's not it. The prosthetics can win their own Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
His nuanced persona, the characters, the emotional depth spontaneously caused me to weep in a movie theater. A 65-year-old man. I was looking around going, I can't stop. He triggered so many things so quickly that I thought, I've seen a lot of performances that have won Best Actor. Nothing except maybe Charlie Chaplin ever did that to me. And
that's quite a review.
It's quite a review. And again, Best Picture? No, it's a great performance within a very small movie. It's a big performance of a big man in a very small movie.
Let's talk about big movies, can we? Because the way the Oscars are now, and I'll tell you what's interesting is the headlines after they announced the Oscars. So the Oscars, the way they are now, I think there's 10 movies they nominate, as opposed to 4 or 5 we used to do. And one of the reasons was they used to say, because when we did the 4 or 5, they were movies, they were critical successes, but not commercial successes. Right. So now
we're including Maverick, which was fine.
Well, that's my point. We're including Maverick. We're including Avatar. I'm not sure if it's Wakanda, that other movie.
Yeah.
These are by far don't belong in this category of some of these other movies. They shouldn't be. The big box office movie should not be competing against some of these small movies.
You're right. They're it's a different experience.
Totally.
It's a movie. It's grand. It's epic. It's exciting. But those aren't the elements of a best picture. A best picture to me is like comparing, Cezanne to Monet. You know, it's got to be a piece of art.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I know. So that's the thing. It's again, I know they wanted to expand it to make it more relevant. But I think now the Oscars has become more irrelevant because the reason that they're doing these awards is because they're trying to satisfy some kind of particular check mark. And the reason I was going to talk about what the headline is the next day, because the headline, and I think we had, we did have Hawk Koch on, and he said this, is the next day, it's not about the headline isn't, here's the nominations. It's who got snubbed.
Right.
And then on the other side of the column is diversity rule. How many Black people are nominated? The big thing with the directors this year is, and screaming headlines was, no women were nominated for directing. Shocking. So we have a situation where it's all about checking a box to the, those are the headlines. Who got snubbed? What's the color? What's the diversity? And how many women?
Well, we're engineering results now.
Yeah.
And that's not actually criteria of quality. You know, do we have enough of this? Do we have enough of this? Do we have enough of this? So they're including everything. And so it's not the quality of film anymore. I hate even saying this because I want everything to be inclusive and I don't want to sound like I'm anti-inclusive, but the criteria is, did we check the box? It isn't, is this a movie that succeeded in terms of what it meant to do? Did it tell the story? Did the characters fully develop?
No, it's a brand new world.
Direction interesting in support of the story, all of the elements that create a work of art.
Now I'm not judging this question
by that anymore.
Do you agree with, and I'm trying to remember who the filmmaker was, but they said we are headed inevitably to having a gender-free Oscar. No more support. It'll be support. It'll be
best actor,
which will include both men and women. And all of the acting and all of the things will all be, they'll never be divided up based on gender.
Well, it might be a shorter show.
Yeah, well, that would be good, actually. But what do you think? I think that's
absolutely possible. It's absolutely possible.
Yeah.
But you see, if you're right, going back to you talking about people being snubbed, if there's a category of being snubbed, then again, it's not about the performance. It's about checking the boxes. I mean, in other words, how are you snubbed as an actor? How can you be snubbed?
I'll tell you. They say that Will Smith would have gotten the Oscar nomination for Emancipation, which I did not see, had he not done the slap that was heard around the world.
Well, is that a snub or people simply are like full, kind of tired of him right now?
We'll never know.
We'll never know. I mean, rather than change the categories and rather than, we have to look at who's voting. You know, if you want to be more expansive.
Well, that was the whole thing. They changed that. Now it's a whole, they went in just like the Golden Globes. And by the way, did you watch the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
Did you see the opening monologue?
Yeah.
Is it not supposed to, when it's not even supposed to be
funny?
You're
not supposed to feel bad when you start watching a show, right?
Boy, I'll tell you. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten more
to be reprimanded.
Has he gotten any pushback? I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, he has? Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, speaking as a comedian,
we're going into the movies, but let's talk about who we're going to have on next week.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. Well, you know him. He's part of your
Yes. When I was cadre. at MTV, there was guy Mark Ballington, who I'm not sure where what his
up right now.
He came in to the channel as a producer or whatever, but he was a really bright guy, very tall. He was a big guy, Mark. Anyhow, he would do promos for MTV, and they were always these very, very, very provocative, well thought out, incredibly creative. And it was kind of like, which was interesting, it kind of like, he wasn't like a nerd-looking guy. He looked like a football player. Mark is a big, tall, you know, heavy. And the reason I say that is because his father was a famous football player for the Baltimore Colts. Mark Ballington's father was
should know that.
Okay,
I'm a football junkie.
So Mark started doing music videos, and one of the music videos he did was for Pearl Jam called Jeremy, and it was an incredible video. It was very talented. He started doing more and more music videos. Anyhow, he ultimately and then I saw him. He was in Jerry Maguire. I didn't even know he could act, but he was in Jerry Maguire. He plays a TV commercial director, and with time, it's like, oh wow, Mark's up there and doing this part with Tom Cruise. Anyhow, he went on to do some other movies. You have a list there. Name some of his movies he's done.
Well, The Mothman Prophecies, Arlington Road,
yeah,
Going All the Way, One Sundance, Survive, The Severing, Henry Poole's here. I mean, good Lord. I mean,
I Melt With You, I believe he did. Anyhow, he's got some great classics, and a lot. He just did, one of the movies he did was with just recently with Shirley MacLaine. He's done a lot. Anyhow, he's a wonderful guy, and because of my MTV days, he's agreed to come on. And the reason I want to have Mark on, not only because just to talk movie makers, to have a conversation that we're doing, is because Mark is the antithesis of the commercial film director. He absolutely has very, very, very strong ideas, and God love him, on cinema. And what he considers good cinema and what he considers
would
not.
He be so in our really... camp that separates you, me, and Martin Scorsese in terms
well,
of
well, no, those, I don't. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
special
listen,
effects movies.
Let me put it to the well. No, we can. That's the kind of stuff I want to ask him about because he does that stuff. But I just want to hear his opinion. I want to talk specifically about these movies. So as many of these movies you could watch, I would love to hear Mark's take as a director and a filmmaker on the nominations to go over that. So
great.
I think that would be an interesting show.
Yeah, that'll be a great show. I want to ask him what his first music video was. Leonard Cohen's Dance Me to the End of Love. Yeah, I want to hear what that was like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so until then...
Until then, we'll see you next time, and that will hopefully be soon. Kenneth, I've enjoyed speaking with you.
Absolutely.
All of you folks, catch us on all of the popular podcast platforms if you just want to listen to us. If you actually like looking at us, we have a YouTube channel, and we're on the DBNA TV network. If you go to the YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up. We'd appreciate it. Until next time, Kenny, nice to see you. Stay warm.
Thank you, my friend.
Will you be swimming today?
No, I did yesterday.
Okay.
I've been good. But
drops to
9
degrees tonight.
Yeah. Sorry.
yeah, well, think of me.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
Don't hate. I actually do kind of hate you because you're going to go swimming. All right.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.